Okay. So the Mishnah says Tavshir Ruach from the Gehenim, the best of the doctors go to Gehenim. Rashi now brings down five reasons. Eino Yarei Min HaChovei, so my friend James the Post was a first year resident, and he describes me a code. He specifically called a code. Most of us are in the medical profession and basically are dentists. So he describes me a code is basically the patient's dying. Everybody has to do something right away. And the hospital goes into emergency mode, and everyone who's shy is supposed to be involved. He says he's running the code, like, and you're watching everyone else. He's kind of strolling along, holding their coffee. They're not taking it very seriously. And when you have a code, I mean, the patient really is in distress of dying at that moment. You know, it's the biggest emergency you could have, right? So that's a guy who's not Yarei Min HaChovei. I'm afraid of sick. Whatever, have my coffee. Machalo Machabrin, the doctor is not concerned with the diet of the patient. So I don't know that you have to say this is something that's central to medicine. It's just that he has a job where they have a tendency to have to suffer from hubris, right?
Yeah, you got all three separate reasons. I thought that was one reason.
Why? Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, because you each of these three as three separate reasons.
I thought there's five separate reasons. He's not afraid of the holy.
Why? Because he eats healthy. And
he eats healthy because he's a doctor.
He's a doctor, and therefore knows what to eat.
No, Mahalo is afraid of the holy. Even if you want to say he's not... The only way I read it, he's not afraid of the holy, and therefore he gives the holy Machabriyim. If you want to put it together, it's not that because the doctor is healthy.
I thought that the doctor, he knows health, and therefore he's a healthier person, and therefore doesn't need to doubt himself so much.
Yeah, The Eino Mishara Liba Lamakam, I think that basically is because you're involved in doing such a thing, and you have such a status in society and whatever. So you're going to be led towards a tendency of gaiva, not necessarily that independent of the fact that it might cause kilkula. You have a doctor has a higher potential of having that bad midah of not being humble before God. I think that's how I read it. Or you could say he's not mishabu libo l'mako in terms of medicine. I think it's more likely to be earlier. Pa'am mishaharig nefashos. Sometimes you kill. Meaning, let's say a guy even does it by accident. Even if it's shogeg, etc. L'maisa, the oven of etzichah is in your hand, then you might not do the proper tshuva, right? If you, a person who kills and to the shogeg, there's no mouthpiece, no malintent. He still has to go to the near Mikladi Sumi Kafara, his murder on his hand. A doctor, once in a while, is going to get involved with it, and he, in his profession, it comes around more than it comes around for a accountant. Okay. This is one that we think would be even earlier. This is why you wanted to call the clinic social girlfriend, but this should be a reason. Because the doctor has the ability to heal sick people and who are poor, and doesn't choose to heal them. Baruch Hashem, everyone at the table who's in dentistry is involved in the Malachi, so maybe we can take a little bit of the edge off of that.
Interesting, he doesn't mention anything about Mafali, which
is what? You're right. Most of the Mishonim don't discuss it. The only place I saw that, I bring down the Mar Mokom, I think but the truth is, but go back to my friend James, the Post, he was told that by Avram, Sofer Avraham, the author of Mishmas Avram, that the Chil Shabbos in the hospital is the trickiest thing. It's like literally walking on a tightrope. That's what it is. On one side you have the Gehenim of Pikuach Nefesh, on the other side you have the Gehenim of Chil Shabbos. So that's I think, one of the strong arguments for if you're going to get involved in medicine, you should really try to do a Shomer Shabbos residency, because even there you have tremendous issues. In a non-Shomer Shabbos residency, I don't know, I would imagine to be able to deal on a minute-by-minute basis, dealing with Shabbos in a hospital, even if you're never going to do it out there, you're so close. I don't walk on tightrope professionally. Imagine the amount of knowledge in Torah that you have to have, and the amount of knowledge in medicine that you have to have, and having that on a practical basis without having access to your postmate, because he's not going to, you can't talk to him on Shabbos, he's not going to be staying next to you. That whole second decision, I don't know, I mean, don't put this on the internet, but I have a serious child of diabetes, and that would be a great shot from the Gehenim. That's sort of what the Avraham Sofer is saying. Okay, so look at the Marasha. The Marasha is saying, it's a different idea. Tov Shavu Rov from the Gehenim is not, I'm sorry, do you have any more? So Rashi is saying Tosha Rovim V'Gehenim means that even the best involved in medicine have tchunos that are going to lead them to medicine. Tosha Rovim V'Gehenim, according to Marsha, he says a little bit different. He says Tov Shegofen is the perspective of the doctor himself. If the doctor believes he is the best of the doctors, then he is going to go to Gehenna. And the reason is, as he says over there, is because he's summoned on his expertise to not consult with fellow physicians in order to come out with the best decisions. And sometimes in medicine, right, you do need to have many opinions that will help you clarify things. If you look at Maramakom, I wrote 1A. I don't know why I did that. This is the Abbas Rabbi Nassan. He writes, Shiva Eilan Ham Chelek Lam Haba. Seven people have no Chelek Lam Haba. That's sort of like you haven't. The Eluhain, Lav La, Sofer, Vitov Shivarofen. That's interesting. He doesn't, that's sort of, you should just say Rofen. But Vitov Shivarofen, I think it sounds like the Marsha's shot, as opposed to Rashi. Not Rashi would say every doctor has at least five problems that I'm going to list, that you're going to send them straight to Gehenna. But the Kabbalah is like there's an entity called Tov Shivarofen. The Marsha is describing an entity, a personality. You don't have to be like that, right? Don't be the Tov Shivarofen. Don't mastic yourself.
Because he puts it amongst other more, more respected and more, high level occupations. So it could be that's actually a higher level than the Rofen that aren't. That could be.
You're saying that the regular Rofe would be more akin to...
Forget it. He really goes straight again.
He really goes straight
again. This is a hot, because if you see who he's put with, he's put the Tov Shivarofen with the die on the end.
It's fine. I hear what you're saying. The fact that it's the only one with an adjective, and it sounds like it's so like taking a stand. I hear what you're saying, though. I hear what you're saying. The diktuk would certainly, I think, more read that that he's sort of like the Marsha. And the truth is, the pshatim that you'll see in the sugya basically sort of fall into whether you're going to hold like Rashi, are we going to start tacking on another avera to potential avera to the rofe, or it's going to be sort of like midos of the rofe, mida of the rofe, he thinks he's good. Right? If you look at the Nishmas of Ram, he brings down a pshat in Maramakom 4 from his, 4, 7, whatever it is, 7, from his father. He says, what's pshat Tov Shivarofen? Tov Gematria is 17. So this is referring to a Rofe who believes that he is like God, he can feel like God, but he doesn't really, he needs Parnasa, he needs Chanin Adat, he needs Gula, he needs Shema Kaleinu, he doesn't really need Rifa'inu. So he sort of skips that bracha. I don't know if he literally skips that bracha or he doesn't believe what he's saying is important. But the idea is that 17, he says 17 brachos, and not the normal Shmona Esrei. The Tov Shivarofen. That's his cue. The Maramakom 4, the Yad Ramah, brings down another two factors. One, Shlefamim Ein Medaktik Mu Flesacholah, they're careless. Okay, so we have his, I guess that would be similar to Rashi's number 2, which is Machal Bereim. And the next one is pretty evil. Marichin HaCholah Kedei Laharbo Tzcharah. They tried to get the patient to be sick longer. We haven't met. This is a pretty nasty fellow. And by the way, if you look at the lashon of the Yad Ramah, he adds something also. He says, "Ha tov shebarofen legehenna." What do you do with that? "Ha tov shebarofen legehenna." No one says that so far. So I'm not really sure. Anyone want to suggest anything? The best of the rofen, not tov shebarofen. It sounds a little more, I'm not sure which way it would be noted. But I just wonder if it makes a difference. Anyone? No? Okay. The Tzitz Eliezer, number 8, he has two really sweet shakas. The first one comes off of a longer tshuva. The tshuva that goes before this tshuva is a follow-up tshuva. It's basically discussing how the resident supposed to get trained. When the resident goes into, let's say, surgery, so like if they're going to use anesthetic, every minute of anesthesia, every half hour, whatever, that you anesthetize the patient, and we're talking about general anesthesia, the morbidity, the chances of injury or even death go higher. And you want to limit the anesthetic time. But obviously a resident who's learning is not particularly skilled and speed is not there. How is a person supposed to learn, right, unless he practices? So the Tzitz Eliezer basically says, well, don't do it on Jews. If you do it on Jews, you're going to be in big trouble. So find some friendly Arabs and work on them, or practice surgeries that don't have general anesthetic, and he does not deviate, and the follow-up tube is, yeah, but how's anyone supposed to be trained? Well, then he says, this is my shadow toast broken with Gehenna. The best of the doctors go to Gehenna. You know why? Because to be the best of the doctors, you have to kill a whole bunch of people along the way to get there. Okay? So you have to practice and practice. When you practice, sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, and you're doing surgery, sometimes the patient dies. So the best of the doctors is someone who's a cowboy, who's brave, and they're willing to do anything, and they don't consider the patient. And eventually, they talk to become a great doctor. But how many people did they kill to get to that point? The next shot he brings down, another Nechmad shot, number 8, is this is what you said. This is the full shot. This one. The Agav. This is B. Atate O Teirush Yata Chadash Yeshua Mivaluch La'alacha. Shareit the Sefer or Pnei Yeshua the Tolus Hamachaber. Right. He wrote a pashu, a simple doctor. Sheino Baki V'tiva Machlos. She's not sure there might be a pikuach nefesh situation. Even if he is mechalo shabbos, if you have an average doctor, at least he can be menasel in the future when he was mechalo shabbos, that he didn't realize, he wasn't sure there was pikuach nefesh enough, so he was able to err on the side of pikuach nefesh. That is not a major issue. Okay, but the Tov Shiruah, the best of the doctors who knew really when he was doing what he was doing that it was not necessary to cross nefesh, but he did it anyway because he believes that it was supposed to be done, irrespective of Shabbos, not caring about Shabbos. Well, he knew that he was in the Chal of Shabbos because he understood, since he's a great doctor, whether this is truly the cross nefesh or whether maybe he could just wait till Motzei Shabbos. That's the guy going to get him because of Chal of Shabbos. Now, all this is very interesting. There's a lot of other possible shots. I had one shot of my own, and then we'll go into the next part of the shiur. Well, I thought maybe Toshi Ropin, again, there's that phenomenon in medicine that's being discovered. I guess we can bring it into dentistry. I mean, like, how smart do you really need to be an orthodontist, right? Just twist some wires, etc. Why do you have to be number one in the class to get into orthodontics, right? So, you know, what is it? There's a brain drain towards orthodontics. Maybe we need the best minds in dentistry and periodontics, otherwise, you know? So, or neural surgery or other things. But orthodontics gets all the number ones in the class. Why? They're like, because they have a nice lifestyle, whatever. There's a lot of reasons. In medicine, the brain drain expresses itself as that instead of going into cardiac and transplants and all these other surgical specialties, the brightest one to get into what specialties?
Dermatology.
The New York Times reported a 2008 whole article about it. I have it right here if anyone wants to look at it. Dermatology. What's next?
Radiology.
Radiology and?
That's all I know.
Vocal. And physiology. So those are, you have a huge amount of people going into those fields where you want smart doctors in every field, but you don't need the brightest minds in medicine to be involved in those fields. So I was wondering if you have Toshi Barofin again, the best of that we have. Let's say you have a Bachar in Yeshiva. He is the greatest guy. He has the potential to be the next Rosh Yeshiva. But his mother said, from the womb, that he has to be a doctor when he grows up. He has to be a doctor. Right? And it turns out he's talking to the best doctor, but he left yeshiva to be the best doctor. Maybe who says that you have to go into that you have to listen to mom and go into medicine? Maybe you should have been instead of curing cancer. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's residents that you should have gone and become a gadol ador and opened up yeshivas and spread Torah to Klal Yisrael. Because the decision, you know, at that point when you're when you're in YU, I can't imagine like making a decision. But let's say you're in YU, and I know someone like this. It was like a machlokes between Rav Tendler and Rav David Lifshitz, so whether he should go to dental school or whether he should go to whether he should stay in learning.
Like what?
I'll let you think of this one. And the fact he went into dentistry, he's a wonderful dentist. But it's not me, don't worry. I'm neither. But I see, Toshiba. So, but Lamaisa, maybe that's Sean Toshiba Barofin. Maybe if he would have stayed in learning, this fellow, who knows what he could have done. The dentists are dime a dozen. There's a million dentists out there. No offense, most of people in the ship. But the dentists are dime a dozen. People are, who says you need to be in your field? Maybe what we should have done, maybe we should have all stayed in learning. Right, so maybe we don't like this. This makes us feel a little uneasy, but maybe this is a nice chat to say to 22-year-olds. Okay, why am I here? So the Tiferes Yisrael has a very, very interesting shot here. The Tiferes Yisrael is a very famous shot, and it's a very controversial shot. And he brings in a whole great story to explain the mission of Toshi Brofim Lagani. He says, really, it's not disparaging to the Rofi. I'll tell you the Toshi Brofim part, so we can move on to the next part. He says, it's not telling you the Toshi Brofim Gehenim like every doctor goes to Gehenim. What it's telling you is that doctors have various midos that, unfortunately, for them, will lead them on a path to Gehenim. And it's a tremendous disadvantage of Ruchnius to be a doctor. However, if the doctor strives and he overcomes the various gates of Haraz and Tesla and Dachinus that he has in his position, he has a great chance of being the greatest person on earth. And he'll tell you a story that's going to make it all come home. This is the story, the famous story of the picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. Who heard of the story? You heard that, right? Okay, so the story is picture, right? So it's on this Mishnah, So the story goes like this. I'll say it very as quickly as possible. There is an Arab king who believes in the science of physiognomy. The science of physiognomy, for those who are not familiar with it, is you look at a dude's face and you see that he's a savage. Okay, so that's how it basically works. Or you can see he's a Russian gumwa. Okay, and that's how the science works. The Arab king was obsessed with this idea. He sent out somebody to go paint the picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. They paint the picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. He returns to the Arab. The Arab brings out all his wise men. All the Arab wise men are looking at the painting, and they say, this man is a Rasha Gamor. The king's like, whoa, somebody's messed up here. Okay, because I know, Shalom Amir Gazun, Chil Achad Yosef Falashin. Everybody knows that Moshe Rabbeinu, I guess he's called Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Tzadik Gamor, right?
Well, everything else.
Musa. So Musa is the Tzadik Gomor. How could it possibly be? So someone's Chayiv Misa. Either the Messiah didn't, this is how it's been done with the Arabs. Someone's Chayiv Misa. Either the Messiah did not paint this guy properly, or my analysts, my advisors, who are Ochle Shulchan Hirais, have deceived me and tricking me, Marduvi. So what does he do? He gets onto his trusty Arabian steed. He goes to the Machne Yisrael. He goes, he takes out a picture. He looks at Moshe Rabbeinu. He looks at the picture, Moshe Rabbeinu picture, and he sees that they're identical faces, obviously, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Somebody got in. I don't know, it works like he did today. He gets a donation or something. I don't know. So he got in somehow, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I guess my analyst, the Chayiv Misa, because the Tzayer painted a perfect picture. So Moshe Rabbeinu, no, Gam your analyst, Gam your sirim, they're all wonderful human beings. But you should just know that everything that they said about me was true, and there's other things that they said that they did not say that are also true. All the chasronos that they saw on the picture, that he's not a good guy, that I'm not a good guy, it's very true. That's me and my nature. However, using hard work and absolute dedication to get as close as possible to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I overcame all that. So that's basically it. And then he goes on to say, and that's true for the doctors also, with all the disadvantages that you have as being a doctor, you can get over that. So this medrash is a very, very strange medrash. First and foremost, it's not quoted, it's part of, there's no record of this. And it's brought down, I think, in the Torah Shlomo, and he says there's no real source for this.
No real source for it.
For the story. The story. You can't just because you write a paper in the 1850s doesn't mean you're allowed to make up midrash. Right? So and the Tiferet Yisrael was the very popular paper on learning Mishnayos. And this is very well accepted, right? Right? But the problem is there's some people from Nacharim, as you will say, specifically Sol Ibn, they've got to give some credit to him. Even though he was in JTS, customer of salvation. So he basically traced that this is not only was this story previously said in regards to Aristotle, but we even have in Jewish sources the same story about Aristotle or Socrates, etc. It was an old legend, but what happened? So the Jews adopted it. They couldn't. Aristotle lost popularity, you get there in the 1400s, 1500s after, he's very popular among the Jews, Aristotle, and then he lost his popularity, and they replaced the story with Moshe, and the mice of the story is fictional. Other people support. The Maral Diskin brings a riot. This is an article in the tradition in 1989 by Schneer Lehman, and he brings down the Maral Diskin didn't like this idea at all. The Rav Kook didn't like this idea. The Deris didn't, thought it was all fake. In fact, when they published in Mishnayos from Musar Rav Kook, it's gratuitous almost. Like you don't need to bring it in even. All you get from the story is that if you have an inclination in one direction because of the situation that you're in, you can overcome it just like Moshe Rabbeinu did. I guess it's like gigantic. Look how long the story is. You see how long this is? It's huge.
Oh, so he's just saying Tom Shabrat and Leganam is a predilection.
Yes, but don't worry. You can overcome. That's what he's saying, right? And then people point that out. Like, why was he even adding to this story? It's like so tangential to the point that Tosfos from Leganim. But you have to come to it like that. But so Maral Diskin says, the Zohar says, how did Moshe Rabbeinu find those Dayanim who were going to be appropriate for Klal Yisrael, when Yisrael advised him to get Dayanim? So the Zohar says he used the science of physiognomy. He would look at a person's face and be able to tell. He says, well, Mimonashah. The physiognomy works in a way that if you look at a guy's face, it tells you what he was like at birth. Well, then maybe he's going to look at Moshe Rabbeinu is going to look at the guy, and he's going to see what he was like at birth. And since then, they became corrupt, and they're really evil people. So what use is physiognomy? Right? And if it tells you what a person is like right now, so then the story doesn't make sense. Right? It's sort of a mimanafshah. It has to be that physiognomy doesn't work on what the person was. It's as the person is now. If so, then this whole story doesn't make any sense at all, because when the king was looking at the picture and he was a raw person, well, we know that Moshe was not a raw person at that point, according to the story. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so other people have problems with this as well. However, the point, though, that some people like to discuss when it comes to this Tiferes Yisrael is, was Moshe Rabbeinu better at birth? Was he the same as the rest of us at birth, and he just became, the Pesukim seemed to point in the direction, which way? That he was unique, or he was a regular...
Yes, unique. Whoa.
He was, yes. Right, even if without the glowing, right? The Bible says Kitofu, right? Just from that alone. And not just that, but so many amazing things happen in terms of saving him, the sound by Baspiro, etc. It's the story of Tzad Beis of Shmos, the Shmek of Moshe being a totally unique person, the chosen one. We've never encountered any story like this where someone was quite so chosen. It shows that he had tremendous advantages even from the get-go. And the truth is, that's the derech of the Maharal. The Maharal believes that, others believe that as well. The Maharal, if you look in, I think it's Baruch Hashem, but also if you look in the Sota, the Midrashim and Sota, he learns that Moshe Rabbeinu is a completely separate person from Klal Yisrael. He explains, why did Paro, they could figure out there's a Moshe of Yisrael being born today, but they couldn't figure out if he was a Jew or not. Like once you can figure that out, somebody should be able to figure a whole lot of things out. It's pretty intense to be able to figure out that the Moshe of Yisrael is born today. So what was so confusing to him? So at first he gets a shouting answer, which is, well, you know, Lamaite was raised in the house of Paro, and Lamaite, he was a Jew. It's not clear what he was. He says, no. The second one, but he doesn't say no. But he says, Odei Shlomo. Odei Shlomo, another possibility is Moshe Rabbeinu was nivdal from Yisrael. Not the pshat that they assumed he was an Egyptian, but Lamaisa, when the magicians looked at who Moshe Rabbeinu was, he just didn't fill the criteria of the regular Jews. He didn't fall into their same model. He was like Jews, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Goyim. Those are like the three things you can be out there as a human, right? And the Maharal carries this through several issues. He says that's why Yocheved was Chazal and Ureha. Why did you have to be Chazal and Ureha? I asked the question last week before I prepared this year, and I didn't get kind of a good answer, and I just got lucky this week to find the answer. Why did Rashi have to write that Yocheved went back to the Ureha for Moshe Rabbeinu? As if, like, you know, when you're 130 years old, just like Sarah had to be Mechadish herself, so too hard. But she had already kids when she was 124 and 127. That was no small thing. She wasn't a spring chicken at that point, right? She would have needed a Chidush from the Aaron at that point. So the Maharal says that he's going to say Ibn Ezra. So one possibility is, like, when I said, once you have a kid, shisha, the karas echad, you don't need chazur nera at all. You don't need chazur nera at all. You have a shisha, the karas echad. Obviously, birth didn't happen in any normal way. Shisha is a much bigger miracle, he suggests, than...
maybe he didn't have shisha.
Right. So the Maharal might not be assuming like that. Well, no, he's saying once in Klal Yisrael there's this phenomenon, and maybe he would say that it extended to Shevet Levi. I don't know that. I don't know if the Maharal
was able to nurse, because the Torah goes on that we said that she was able to nurse, so that also probably played into the story.
No, but he's saying all rules of normalcy are thrown out once you're dealing with Mitzrayim, you know, labor practice. Right? That's basically what the Maharal's derech is. And then he says, and why did she have a Chidush Naharal? Not because it was needed to birth Moshe. It's because that's what happens when you have Moshe Rabbeinu in you. You get renewed. Since Moshe Rabbeinu is a chelak elyon like no one else is, so if he's, and when you're dealing with elyon and you're coming from the koach of chidush, he also will mechadish his mother, right? And it goes on.
Which happened first?
What?
Which happened first?
No, the kid, but he.
She had a relief from the egg.
Conception happened first, or she got was renewed before?
Right. This, he said this. Funny you ask. He said this right after the Gemara says, "Wait a second. She must have been pregnant earlier." The Gemara, like the Gemara tells us, the Medrash says, "The ha habas na abra beit plata yarchei meikara." She was already 3 months pregnant when she was
got remarried.
Got remarried.
She That's was against the Medrash. Okay, for the Medrash and Rashi.
So Rashi makes it sound
different.
Yeah. So the Sota is against Rashi. Right, but the Gemara learns from that just like the Hora wasn't with difficulty, so to the Leda wasn't with difficulty. But that's what he says. He says that she that the Leda of Moshe, the onset of Moshe being there, brought on a chidush to her because he was frightened. He was there. That's what Moshe would do. And then furthermore, what Tov? So it goes. Yeah, the fact that there was Tov. The fact that there was light in Ismaili Habayis, and the fact that he was Nolad Mahul, the Maharal goes on to say, all come because Moshe's Madrega Salokis built his tivis by the Eskalad. So he was not like a normal person at all. So, you know, that's obviously very different than how the Tikal Israel says. Now the Rambam brings down, well, I guess we'll have to end with this. The Rambam brings down that every person is royally Osada to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Every person can be Osada to Moshe Rabbeinu, every person can be a Russia like Yerava, and you basically have the choice to decide what you want to do. This is the Kubit Ma'amar of Chana, so he brings down over here, he says, well, I, the Torah, says, Lokam Kimosha. So, it's a tiny little Indian, Nebuasa, not in terms of Sitzus, right? But he says, still, it bothers me. Ramayisa, like, we can never be on Moshe's Madreya. Like, Moshe was just so beyond what he accomplished with that Nebu, etc. It's very, very hard. So he explains like this. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ezer Hashem. And the Radak says, in the beginning of Yeshua, that the Gedder of Ezer is, the Ein Kinyan Ezer below Rabbo. The Yad Ezer to Yad Rabbo. Masha Kana Ezer, Kana Rabbo. The Chazal Yad Moshe Rabbeinu Rav Hashem, the Kol Kol Chalsav, the Chusha, the Daito, Hayu Kulan Kodesh Vashem Levado, for all Yishtam Mishpahem, the Shum Tzarek Acharat Vashem. Moshe was completely an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, in every single way. That's why Shechina Medabas, you didn't say that, but Shechina Medabas in Tal Grano. What does that mean? There's no Lechita between him and Hashem. The Hamidah, though, it's really an address from everybody. We're all commanded in life to be like this. That's L'chol Masecha Yul Hashem Shemayim. But the Vazad, Mukhach Me'elo, Da'akol Ma'ash Yesh Lo La'adam Zikta Lo Mido Mishto Takos Anirta V'lo Mikam Lo Shum Da'vel Atala. Everything that we have is supposed to be dedicated, and there's no thing that's outside of our ultimate taklus, which is to serve Hashem. Because, so even though certainly if you can work 1,000, 2,000 years of life, you're never going to reach the karsula, the ankle of Moshe Rabbeinu. But he's that's only because we were not given the kelim of Moshe. But that doesn't mean just because we're Adam Pasha that we're going to be less valuable. By a korban of an Oni and the korban of an Asher are both accepted the same way. It might be that Moshe is greater, but in terms of Sikkot, there's no reason that we can't be on the same level. So the truth is, whether Moshe Rabbeinu started as a tzaddik, if I say the reverse brings down, in this is Parsha. He says that why do you have to have the genealogy? Why is Moshe, the whole genealogy listed there of Moshe, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Moshe? The one simple reason, not like the Maharal. To show you that Moshe was a man born of flesh and blood, etc., and we should not be like Christianity and confuse our people with that there's such a thing as an elevated and exalted man. The Rambam is not really talking about the origin of Moshe. It shouldn't, either Shita shouldn't necessarily bother us. I think a person may think about it would be like, you know, there aren't special people. Like, but even if there is a person in the world, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who is unique, and for whatever reason, Kodesh had that the Moshiach had to be so unique, and Maharal does go into that, we're not going to go into that. Still, at the end of the day, Taklis, as far as our objectives are in this world, we all have the ability to be a Tzaddik like Moshe, we all have the ability to make the correct decisions. We might not reach the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, but with what Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us, we certainly have the ability to excel.
I'm
reading down
with Allah, like you shouldn't be yawning from a Jewish, from a non-Jewish woman.
Yeah,
Haka.
Right.
Why? Because Pesha also died. What does it do with me? I'm not, my kids not going to be also died from Mishnah. No, they said, because every child has the ability to be
able
to die
from Mishnah.
Be like Moshe.
That's not
coming
in. Right. How do you learn that?
Right. That's not coming in. That's learning that Rashi. Learning that Ramash.
Shout out to Rosh.